My name is Tim, and global depopulation is a very big issue, obviously, and I am torn how to ethically respond to this thing that's happening all over. I'm a father of three and wish I could have had more kids. I wish other people would have more kids. Can't force them to do so. One part of me wants people to have kids, and the other side says, well, if people don't want to have children, then perhaps that's the ethical thing and they should remove themselves from that process. And maybe, you know, the global population does need to go down, and this is a natural evolutionary process.
Right. Okay. Tell me more.
So I am a consumer of a lot of podcasts and videos. And so I see lots of young women preemptively having their fallopian tubes removed and men having vasectomies and saying they can't bring children into this world because it's so terrible, which I think is absurd. And part of me wants to challenge them on that. The other part of me is simply that perhaps you just shouldn't be parents. And maybe it is best if you just don't have children and your line goes extinct. And that sounds hateful. I don't like that. But maybe that is part of what needs to happen. Part of this, maybe this depopulation is a part of a naturally occurring process that brings our population back into balance. And so I'm curious about your thoughts on
that. Tell me a little bit about the moral positioning that you're coming from. Are you a Christian or an atheist?
I'm a Christian, yes.
A Christian, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So do you think that the population needs to continue to go up or to remain stable, or should it come down, again, all other things being equal?
I don't think it needs to go up, but I think people who can raise children well and be responsible parents need to have more children. There are obviously lots of people who should never have been parents, who abuse kids and all that kind of thing. And, you know, they probably never should have had children. But, you know, I see so many good people who work hard and follow the law and are good people, and they consciously decide to not have children. And I think it's just tragic, because those are exactly the people I think we do want to have children.
That's an interesting question. So why do you think people decide they don't want to have children? And it's not just the propaganda, because, you know, everyone gets the propaganda. The propaganda was around when I was a kid. Zero population growth, the late great planet Earth. All of this stuff coming from hard leftists was about depopulation and don't have kids and bad for the environment and all of that. So it's not just the propaganda. Otherwise, that would be causal and everybody would stop having children. So why do you think people don't want to have children outside of just the propaganda?
Well, I come from a family of farmers, like most people did in the past, and families were large because you needed manual labor on the farm. That has largely gone away. So I think you don't need children for your own prosperity going forward. So I think that's a big part of it. And then on top of that is just, you know, children are expensive. They are, in fact, but I don't have a problem with that. That is a wonderful thing. My life exists to be consumed for future generations. So my labors go into the future, and I'm okay with that. A lot of people aren't, though. They'd rather do whatever they, you know, go on vacations or gamble or drink or whatever they want to do. And so those are choices. My own father told our family of four kids that if they had known then what we know now about the population bomb, that they never would have had so many children, which is kind of a tactless thing to say to his own children, but there it is.
Okay. So, I mean, it's good that we're sort of circling the question, but we're not there. I mean, it's a big question, so we wouldn't be there so quickly, but it's not just about cost, because everybody has cost considerations and so on. There must be something that's more particular to the people who don't want to have kids, that's not just about all of the obstacles that everyone would face having children, if that makes sense.
Right. One of my concerns when I became a father was that you know, I thought being a father would be great, but I still wanted to be who I was. and, you know, do the things that I like to do and have my hobbies. And it, you know, over the years became obvious that that simply was not realistic. Having children means that you're giving yourself to them and to their needs and desires, and that you do have to surrender big pieces of your life. And so once I fully embraced that, I kind of got it at that point, that my life is here for them. And if that means I have to give up the things that I like to do and I like to pursue, then that's the way it has to be. And I suspect that a lot of people don't like that idea, and they can't really understand that until they do have children.
Well, I think that they could understand it if their parents made sacrifices for them. But the sacrifice thing, I kind of get what you're saying, but it's sort of like saying, well, if I end up married, I can't sleep around. And therefore, that's a big sacrifice. It's like, well, yeah, but I mean, I guess you give up casual sex, but I mean, what you get is infinitely greater, if that makes sense. And
yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, and people give up a lot of stuff all the time in life to get something better. And I don't know what the answer is, but it can't just be, well, some people don't want to give up their own identity because the identity that you get as a father is greater than the identity you get as an individual, in the same way that the love and happiness that you get from being married is far greater than a series of shorter relationships or one-night stands or whatever it's going to be. So I'm not quite sure we're there yet in terms of why people don't want to say, oh, well, I'm going to give up things that I want to do. And it's like, well, then, again, that's true of everyone. You and I have decided to do that. Other people haven't. Saying that, well, people don't want to give up their hobbies or things that they want to do individually. Okay, I mean, but that was true for you and I, and yet we made
yes.
the decision to become parents. So these things can't be causal, otherwise it would be more consistent. I think there probably is something else. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but these are all factors that, you know, it's like saying, well, why did so-and-so not get an education? Well, because it costs money and they didn't want to go into debt. It's like, well, but that's not enough because lots of people go into debt to get an education or whatever. So I think we're still having to thrash around a little as to why they make decisions, because you and I faced the same factors and became parents. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't want to just dismiss it as narcissism of just wanting to live for self and not for others. I don't want to point this only at women, but I listen to young women talk about it. And of course, they bear the burden of pregnancy and everything. But they, you know, will say that, well, you know, having children is going to destroy my body and stress me out, and there are consequences and all of this. And, you know, to a certain extent, some of that is absolutely true. You're not going to have the same body that you did when you, you know, before you had a child. But this is what we're here for. And, you know, it sounds, you know, it's patriarchal to say that to a woman, because I don't have to do that part. But
well, hang on. I mean, have you ever worked hard with your hands and body?
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I have too, and I didn't have the same body after I'd spent a couple of years working hard with my hands and body as I did before. That goes on a whole lot longer than pregnancy, and I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but men routinely harm their bodies in the long run in order to provide an income for their families, right?
Right, right.
So saying, well, the only thing that matters is that women, I'm not saying you're saying it's the only thing, but saying, well, you know, women don't end up with the same body after pregnancy. Well, first of all, that's somewhat of a choice. I mean,
right.
Women end up with stretch marks and problems with their bodies if they overeat during pregnancy and don't exercise. If you don't overeat, I mean, you've basically got 3 months of stretching on your belly. That's not enough to permanently distort your frame. So if you just don't overeat and you do reasonable levels of exercise before, during, and after, when, you know, medically appropriate, then you end up, I mean, you can see at the extreme example, you know, people like Elizabeth Hurley and other women, I think she's had kids, like, and you've seen fitness influencers after 3 children, they look fantastic. So it certainly is possible to still have a good figure after having children. So it just, you know, it takes some work, in the same way that for a man, it's possible to not wreck your body doing physical labor, but you have to be kind of careful. You have to, you know, lift with your back and with your knees,
right.
And, sorry, don't lift with your back, lift with your knees and that kind of stuff. So you do sort of basic preventive exercise and so on. I mean, also soft jobs, like office jobs. We don't think of it as much, but office jobs are horrible on people's bodies.
Right.
Because there's all that sitting and slouching and staring at screens. And, you know, it's just the sedentary thing is brutal. And so there are a lot of people who are podcasters or other sorts of media figures that wreck their health because they do all Certainly. Of the sitting and soft couches and then sitting to doing edits and sitting at their email and so on, which is one of the reasons why I like to walk around. Like I'm currently walking around while we're doing the show. It's not like everybody needs to see my gorgeous face all the time. And so, but what you have to do is you have to do work in order to maintain your health. So if you are doing physical labor, then you need to do, you know, your stretches and massages and proper body posture and so on to maintain your health. And if you are doing some sort of sitting job, then of course what you need to do is do your exercise and move around and all this kind of stuff. So men are harming their bodies and women too, just by working, whether it's physical labor or more sedentary labor. I'm not sure which is worse. So saying that there's a huge sacrifice for pregnancy and it's going to wreck your body, it's like, I mean, all work is going to do that unless you compensate for it. And it's the same thing with pregnancy, if that makes sense. I remember when I used to work in a store as a teenager, the old people would just hang around and want to chat and just be just so desperately, like you'd smell the loneliness coming off them. It's kind of foul and horrifying. It was like a hole with no bottom. And so yeah, you gain things later in life and you lose things earlier in life. And you know, like going to exercise and stuff, you lose some comfort and sitting on the couch now, but you gain sort of health and strength down the road. And so I think it's hedonism, number one. And number two is just a lack of gratitude. So people enjoy being alive. And so because people have sacrificed in order for us to be alive, we should pay it forward. You know, if you inherit a whole bunch of money that's been in your family for 10 generations, you shouldn't blow it all on hookers and drugs, right? I mean, that would be highly irresponsible. So if you enjoy being alive, then you should want to pay it forward as best you can, because you were given a gift that's not yours. Like life isn't something that I just made up on my own. It was the sacrifice of my parents and grandparents and like all the way back 4 billion years or however long you want to go for. So if you inherit something that is wonderful and it is a gift that you hold on to that you have the ability to pass on, then you shouldn't just consume it all for yourself. You know, like if you've ever had this thing, like take a bite and pass it on, you know, if there's some, you know, here, have a bite. And if somebody passes you like a donut and you're supposed to take a bite and pass it on and you just eat the whole thing yourself, you're kind of an a-hole, right? So you're just consuming it all yourself rather than passing it along and all of that. So I think it's selfishness, which is kind of an ingratitude, and hedonism. And I'm not sure why those personalities should get to reproduce.
Okay.
I mean, people give you excuses. People have to be kind of lazy, entitled, hedonistic, and selfish. But they don't want to sit there and say, well, I'm too lazy and selfish to have children, so I'm going to be greedy for an excuse or a justification, if that makes sense. Right. And then some, you know, jerkwad comes along and says, well, you know, it's environmentally responsible and you're just perpetuating white supremacy or whatever is going on. Like, you just do not have children for the sake of too many people on the planet. It's like, if there are too many people on the planet, why does everyone keep sending massive amounts of food to the third world? I mean, that's all they do is have more kids, right? So that's all
nice. Yeah.
So people are lazy, or maybe they just had really bad childhoods and don't know how to be a good parent or something like that and don't want to do the work to figure that stuff out. So I think people are just, they're lazy, entitled, selfish, you know, don't want to do the self-work and want to just, you know, burn all of their inheritance on themselves. So people then just hand them excuses. And if people hand you excuses that say, your selfishness is actually a great, deep and abiding virtue, well, people are like, Yeah, it is. I'm not selfish. Yeah. I'm environmentally responsible. I'm not selfish. Right. I don't want to perpetuate whatever, right? And so people are very greedy for excuses. If they have vices, they're very greedy for excuses. And of course, there's no end of people who will be happy to come along and deliver those excuses. And then they get to feel very virtuous about being, you know, shallow, callow, selfish, and hedonistic, and all right. that, right? So,
yeah. What prompted this for me is that more than half the members of my family have, by choice, never had children. And so it makes family gatherings a little awkward because I want to talk about my kids, but then it sounds like bragging, sort of, that I want to talk about my kids. And it's they just all look so sad to me as they age, that they've passed that window, and that there's nothing there for them. There's nothing to pass on. There's nothing to look forward to. Everything's a dead end for them. And I think it's tragic, but I can't fix it.
I mean, yeah, love is the only thing that escapes the hedonic treadmill, love and wisdom. Because the hedonic treadmill, of course, as you know, is the more pleasure you get, the less pleasure you feel. But that's not the case with wisdom and virtue and love, and those things grow in the application. So, of course, you know, if you've got siblings in their 50s, and those siblings have done the kind of selfish life or whatever it is, then all of those selfish pleasures diminish over time. And, you know, normally people start getting health hiccups in their 50s, you know, teeth and backs and knees and cysts and all sorts of nonsense.
Right.
And... Right. And then you're not, you know, 26 and out of the club. You're at your own recovering from having a cyst removed or something, and you've got no one.
Right.
And so, right. yeah, right. so, I mean, but that's all pretty obvious, and it only takes a moment of thought to anticipate that. And so, right. And also the other thing, too, is that if you don't have kids, your life is almost completely limited to other people who don't have kids. Because if you don't have kids, and your best friend has kids, your lives part and never return.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's hard to explain to people who don't have kids. And you tell me if this is not your experience. I'm sure it is, but obviously I don't want to speak for you. When you have kids, that's all you think about.
Right.
Like from the first daddy in the morning to the last passing out at night, when you try and get your cozy 7 hours, right? I mean, your day is consumed by kids. And their needs are consistent, and you know, the fun that you have with them is consistent, and you have to adjust to each new phase. And it's a wild situation. It's much more consuming than marriage. Kids are just, especially, you know, certainly until they're in their early teens, kids really need you, and it's just a absolutely almost endless, consistent 100% of your waking hours. I mean, you could distract yourself a little bit, you know, maybe play a game or if you're at work or something like that. But kids are always on your mind. And for people who don't have kids, you just can't understand it. I mean, I didn't understand it till I became. I remember reading, this woman wrote a great book about kidhood and marriagehood called What Our Mothers Didn't Tell Us or something. And she said, when you become a parent, it's like your focus on your kids is like a dimmer switch. You can turn it down, but you can't turn it off. Like, you'll never forget that you have kids.
Right.
And you'll never not be thinking about them at some level, because you always need to be alert. You know, are they waking up? Are they crying? Are they upset? You know, even middle of the night, I need to pee or whatever. I'm thirsty. And so your lives, if you have kids and you don't have kids, those lives just completely diverge. And then people say, ugh, all you talk about is your kids. It's like, bro, that's what I do.
Right.
All day, what I do is be a parent. And so your lives just completely diverge in a way that's almost impossible to explain to other people. But, and again, maybe this isn't your experience, but in my experience, I don't have any real contact with people who aren't parents in terms of like my social life. I mean, for work and that matter and so on. But they're either trying to become parents or they are parents, or that's their goal, certainly. But I don't have any dedicated singletons or childless people in my life, because the value divergence is just too great.
Right, right. Yeah. And the desperate irony of parenthood is that as they grow, you have to let go of them. So they go from total dependence to independence. And you know, it's that 18-year process of letting go, which I know you'll never stop being a parent, but you're about at that window of just releasing your daughter into the world and like, here you go, world.
Yeah. And then she'll come back when she gets married and have kids and all of that. She'll probably do a bit of a boomerang to be around us as grandparents and all of that. And of course, even when she's out there in the world, I mean, you're still thinking about how they're doing. It's kind of a constant thing. So, and so what else have you seen with your childless siblings?
They're rudderless. They don't know why they get up every day. They almost all hate their jobs now. They sort of have disposable income, but it's like, what are you going to do with it? You going to go on a singles cruise? Are you going to, I don't know. They seem just rudderless in their lives. And, I guess I'm more concerned with when I, encounter young people who say these things, like, you can't frame children into a world like this. I want them to have children and mature a little bit. But, if they insist they want to get their tubes tied, I don't know what to say to them. What's ethical at that point?
Okay, so let's do a little role play. You be one of these young people and say what you say, and I'll sort of say what I might say back.
Certainly, yeah. So with all that's going on in the world, how can I possibly bring a child into the world? Currencies are collapsing. Governments are, starting new wars. We're just going to throw them into the meat grinder. So why don't we do them a favor and just not birth them at all?
Right. Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And certainly the world is a troubled place. It has been for thousands of years. It probably will be for the next couple of centuries at best. The world is definitely a troubled place. Do you think that the world is easier or harder to raise children in than it was, say, 500 years ago?
Overall, I suppose easier, but it's a more dangerous, sociologically, a more dangerous place.
Sorry, then or now?
Now.
Oh, so are you saying it's more dangerous or more difficult now to raise children than it was 500 years ago?
More dangerous now because we lack actual community. You exist in this atomized world of the internet with infinite little subgroups. So you don't really know anyone. You're not actually connected and looking out for your neighbor.
Neighbor. That's a choice, right? That's not totally inflicted upon you. You can work to make a community. So it's not like that's a sort of law of physics. But I mean, let me ask you this: if I had a magic button and when you were born, you could choose to go back 500 years, or you could choose to stay in the present. Do you think you'd push it?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't think so.
Why would you?
I don't think so, because I know what happened in the past, and the future has unknown potential.
Okay, but you're saying that the past was better, so why wouldn't you want to? And I'm not trying to be like, well, why wouldn't? I'm just curious, like, why wouldn't you want to go to some... most people would say if there's a button you can push and you can get $10 million, most people would push that button, right? Because they say, well, that's better, right?
Right.
So if the past was better and it had community and all these other things that are of value, and they are, I mean, I'm disagreeing with you about that, then why wouldn't you want to go back? Why don't you push that button?
I suppose you might because it's a known quantity. You know what the circumstances are, in hindsight.
What do you mean?
I know what the sociological constructs are. I know the languages that are spoken.
No, but if you went back in time, you would grow up knowing and learning those things. And of course, look, there were strengths in the past, and I agree with you that there was much more community and so on. But that community was also a little bit claustrophobic. Like, you had to kind of obey everyone, and you couldn't really step out of line, and you couldn't really be an independent thinker and so on. And of course, if you were to go back 500 years ago, you'd be flipping a coin as to whether you lived to the age of 5, because half of all children died before the age of 5.
Right.
So would you want to go back in a time where it was 50-50 whether you'd even make it to the age of 5? And even if you made it to the age of 5, you could die from an infection. Your teeth would get pulled out without anesthetic, which might break your jaw. You would have no antibiotics. You'd have no anesthesia. If you need an operation, they just give you some whiskey and strap you down. And there was so little political liberty and so much war that it's almost incomprehensible. And of course, there was a pretty stifling amount of conformity, no communications technology. You also would be unlikely to learn how to read, and therefore you wouldn't have any literacy or anything like that. So you could certainly make the case that it's not that great in the past compared to now in by some metrics, right?
Right. Oh, certainly. Yeah, certainly.
Or to put it another way, if you could show a day in your life to somebody from 500 years ago, do you think they'd want to come to where you are?
Oh, I imagine so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We know that people who live in more primitive cultures in the world right now move heaven and earth just to get to the West, right?
Right, of course.
So people die. Absolutely. You remember that poor kid in Turkey whose father put him on the boat, you know, many years ago, and he drowned on the beach. So people are dying, you know, like 40% of the women who cross the border, or maybe 80%, I can't remember, who cross the border in Mexico get sexually assaulted along the way.
So people
are dying to get to where you are, and you say the world is too terrible to even have children. Well, not according to the people who are dying to get where you are.
Right. Yeah. I am not very good at strawmanning that side of the argument.
Well, they would talk about environmentalism and so on, right? And I literally had this conversation with somebody who was keen on not having kids, or wasn't keen on having kids. And she brought up the environmental argument, right?
Right.
And I said, well, of course, if you are for the environment, then you must be very much against migration, immigration, because immigration is taking people from a low carbon footprint and putting them into a high carbon footprint. And she was pro-immigration. And then I said, well, if you are for environmentalism, which of course is a good cause in some ways, if you're for environmentalism, then you must be very much against government control of currency, because they print all this money, they go into debt, which consumes extra resources. You must desperately want to have the budget balanced no matter what, right? And of course, she hadn't even thought about that. So I'd say, look, environmentalism is not the major concern, although it is important. But I said also, how are we going to solve the problems of environmentalism? Well, we're going to have to use intelligence and technology. Now, you are very concerned about environmentalism. So let's say you have two or three children, and you say to them, environmentalism is really, really important. And then they go out and they become activists or scientists or entrepreneurs or something, and they work very hard to solve environmental issues. Well, that's good, right? So you get to transfer your environmental values to your kids, and that's going to be a part of how they work in the world, and they're going to go out and inform people, and they're going to go out and invent things or start companies or work for places with people who share their values, so that the problems of environmentalism can be solved. If you don't have kids and you support, you know, mass immigration, then the values of environmentalism, which are not generally shared by people from, I mean, if you look at other countries, not in the West or other places, the environmental concerns are really not there. They don't really have them.
Right.
And so what's going to happen is, if you don't have kids and you support mass sort of human immigration, then what happens is the values of environmentalism are going to get diluted to the point where they'll just disappear. Right. And so if you care about environmentalism, you should want to have kids and raise them with your values to make sure that they can solve the problems and keep environmentalism alive.
Right. Yep. If we're saving the environment, who are we saving it for?
Well, that's another thing too. Yeah.
If
you don't have kids, then there's no need to save it for, right? I mean, that's like saying, I want to calorie restrict my last meal before execution. It wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
I gotta brush my teeth, right? So, So these are sort of arguments as a whole. And of course, I've engaged when the people say the world is overpopulated. My general response is not by super intelligent people, though, which we all know that women, when they're young, tend to have more sex with lower IQ people. It's a bit of a tragedy or whatever, right? But we could say that there's too many people in the world. But if there are too many people in the world, we're going to need smart people. Because if there are a lot of people in the world and they're not particularly smart, it's going to be a complete disaster. So we are going to need smart people in the world. And so the world is overpopulated, but people aren't just copy-paste like little Among Us individual blobs. They vary very differently in terms of intelligence and in terms of values and so on. And so if we say the world is overpopulated, it's like, yeah, but not by super smart people. And so everyone who listens to what I do is usually very smart. And so you should be having kids because, I mean, that's in a way the rarest commodity of all.
Right. One other argument I have in my head is that I wonder if, because young adults often need to rebel against something, right? They got to push back against whatever the structure is to find their own path and their own sort of independent thought. And we're kind of running out of things to rebel against because we're tearing everything down. And one of the last things that you can rebel against is reproduction. It's the last sort of frontier of us continuing forward. You tear down religion and you tear down government and our history and our historical myths and all the things. That's sort of the last thing that you can rebel against is, be a young woman and say, I'm not having children. I'm not going to do this thing that my body was made to do.
Mm. And that I benefit from my mother doing. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And I exist because of her, We all have mothers.
So if somebody says that to me, it was not a young woman, but a young man. I had that conversation once in real life. And he said, I'm a rebel, right? And I said, okay, but who told you that not having kids was a positive thing? And he's like, It's everywhere. It's the media. My teachers told me and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, how are you just rebelling if you're just doing what propaganda tells you to?
Right, right.
How is that rebelling at all? Well, I heard this idea that having kids was bad, so I'm not going to have kids because someone told me to not have kids. And I'm like, so you're kind of just a follower. And genetically, you're following people off a cliff, like you're ending the whole bloodline, right?
Right.
And then the last thing, of course, two sort of minor side quest arguments is to ask your parents, would you have had children if you knew that none of your children would have children?
Because
that's the deal.
Right. Right.
The deal is I have a child or children so that the bloodline can continue. Or to put it another way, if you knew ahead of time, let's say you had genetic testing, and you knew ahead of time that you and your beloved wife, who you want to stay with and be monogamous with because you love her, let's say that you knew ahead of time that if you had children, they would all be infertile, like the way that you and your wife's genes just kind of matched up.
Right.
And so if you knew ahead of time that all of your children would be infertile, would you have children? I mean, that's a real question for you, I guess.
Right, right. I would selfishly just for the experience, but yeah, I've never really thought about that.
And of course, it's hard to imagine life without your kids.
Right.
So it's not like you don't want your kids to be there, but in general, we have children in part upon the assumption that they themselves will have children.
Right, right.
And that's kind of the deal.
Yeah.
And most people, if they somehow knew ahead of time that none of their children would have any children, it would mean no grandchildren, no great-grandchildren, and it probably wouldn't mean weddings to attend, like all of the natural beauty and busyness of extended family life and so on. And also, if your children were infertile, then what kind of mate would they get? Because most people want to have kids. So if you have kids and you know ahead of time that those kids are infertile, then of course they have to say that to everyone they're dating. By the way, if you want to have kids, I can't have kids, right?
Right.
Now, of course, you could talk about adoption and this, that, and the other, but most people want to have their own kids, in particular men. Women too, of course, right? But most people want their own kids. And the reason I say a little bit more men want their own kids is because men usually experience much, much less parenting than women because men are out working while women are, at least when the kids are young, so the women get more out of it than the men. Then you're paying for somebody else's genetics and it's not quite as good.
Right.
So my point is that it will influence not just whether your kids reproduce, which they won't, but it also influences the kind of men or women who will date them. Because most people still at least want to have children. I know there's a bunch of propagandized people out there who will say that they don't, but most people want to have kids. And if I, when I was a single man, if I had dated a woman who had said, I am unable to have children, I would, shake her hand and wish her the best, but I wouldn't continue because that's what I want. That's sort of the default setting for human beings. So the deal with being born is that you have a baton, right? And I don't know if you've ever run a relay race. You probably have. You know, you pass the baton. But so, if you have four people in the baton running race, got to go around the track, right? Maybe it's 1,000 meters. It's every 250 meters. There's someone. If you knew that somebody wasn't going to pass the baton forward, would you even show up for the race?
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't bother because you can't win. There's no point whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so for the most part, people have children for the sake of continuing the bloodline, of seeing them get married, of holding their grandchildren, of helping to raise the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, extended family. So for the most part, people have children on the assumption of fertility and a continuance of the line. In the same way that if I'm in a relay race, I hand a baton to someone hoping they're going to sprint like crazy and get to the next person. And so it's not, obviously, it's not evil to not have kids. And nobody should ever be forced to, of course. I mean, abortion's another matter, but in terms of like nobody should be forced to have children. Right. But it is a massive rejection of the most elemental social contract, which is why you exist in the first place.
Right. Right.
And people say, well, but I really enjoy my life without kids. And it's like, but if your parents had done that, you wouldn't be here to enjoy your life without kids if your parents had felt that way. And also, if your parents had known ahead of time that you weren't going to have kids, it's much less likely they would have had you. Because it's sad, right? I mean, you see this in your siblings. I mean, it's kind of a bit of a sad and empty life, in particular for women from like 40 to 85 or 90 sometimes these days, like a half century, where they're not being pursued by the kind of men they want, and they can't offer kids, and they can only spend time really around other sad sack kidless people. And because it's tough, you know, I felt this very big split when I first became a parent, because you're so fascinated by your children and you love them so much that other people can't quite get it, and your life has just changed so irrevocably. It's kind of like, you know, when you get married, and it's even more strong than this, but like when you get married and your friends are going to the club, and you know, they're going to like drinking spring break weekends in Miami and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm married now. And so you just, but kids is even bigger. It's an even bigger divergence. And I don't, it didn't take too long after I became a father, it didn't take too long to just have less and less in common and just fall out of touch with the people I knew who didn't have kids. Because, you know, I don't know if this is just some big value judgment or anything like that, but it's just such a low stakes life. You know, like you have a kid and, you know, you nurse them through illnesses and you help them learn how to walk and they fall down and you put your band-aids on and, you know, maybe you got to take them to the hospital once in a while, and people are like, I'm not getting the promotion I want at work. And it's like, yeah. You know, it's just such low stakes nonsense that when you actually have a human life to take care of, in your case, three, you're just playing such high stakes games that, you know, it's like you've got $500,000 on one roulette spin and other people have got $5 on a blackjack and they're like telling you about their issues. And it's like, I'm sorry, we're just playing a completely different games in completely different leagues.
Right. So I suppose the short answer to the ethical dilemma is evangelize parenthood to the extent I can, and some will take it and some won't. And that's just how life is.
And let's not be afraid to shame.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, it is shameful to not have kids, if you can, right? Or you should at least try. And, you know, some people that never meet the right person, or they have medical issues or health issues. And, you know, huge sympathy for that. And of course, nobody's talking. I mean, that's like saying, you know, people should exercise. It's like, oh, yeah? What if you're a paraplegic? It's like, yeah, but I'm not talking about that, right? So, and it's like, if people say to me, I don't want to have kids, I give them these old arguments, and, you know, they're not moved by any of it. It's like, okay, well, like, just admit it. You're just lazy.
Yeah.
You're just lazy and entitled, and you'd rather do some stupid brunch than have a baby fall asleep on your chest to your breathing, you know, which is fantastic, right? And so, yeah, you just want to live for yourself. You're just a selfish person. All I say to people is don't dress it up in something that it's not.
Right.
It's like the the people who just want to sleep around. It's like, so you're a sex addict.
Right.
I mean, let's not pretend that, it's live free and easy and, the important thing is to get laid. But it's like, no, look, you're just a sex addict. You know, like all the people right. who are like, hey, man, weed, it opens your mind and it's all natural and don't be such a stodgy, whatever, right? And it's like, no, you're just a drug addict. Like, let's just call it right. for what it is. And people don't like, I'm just working on a presentation called The Truth About Marijuana. That will be quite exciting. But so, the beginning of wisdom, as the old saying goes, is to call things by their proper names. And
Certainly.
Yeah, and so, you're just a lazy, entitled, selfish hedonist. And, let's just call it for what it is. I don't mind if people are lazy, selfish, entitled hedonists. It bothers me when they lie about it.
Right.
And say that, oh, no, it's because I care about the environment. It's like, no, you don't. And the other thing, of course, is anybody who says they care about the environment to the point where they're not even having kids, you just all you have to do is say, when did you last go to Starbucks?
Right.
do you have anything in your house that is not essential? Do you have a car? Right. Have you ever taken an airplane? How about a boat? Do you ever, like, of course, right? They've done all of these things when they don't have to. So let's not talk about the environment as being some massive consideration, because if it was a massive consideration, they'd be living purely minimalistically. Sure. And of course, people want to not have kids so they can travel. And then they say it's got something to do with the environment. It's like, bro, what do you think travel does to the environment? Come on.
Right.
Come on.
All right.
Move myself and threw carbon across entire continents and then cake. And then talk about the carbon consumption of children. It's like completely ridiculous. I mean, how many jet engines does it take how many baby's breasts does it take to make up for one flight with four jet engines? I mean, come on.
Right.
So, yeah. So I think I don't mind what people do. I just don't want them to lie about it. And I will absolutely shame people for lying about stuff and saying, well, it's about the troubles of the world. It's like, I grew up with nuclear war, and I'm sure you did as well, but nuclear war was like, they had this doomsday clock, the bulletin of the atomic scientists. It's 4 minutes to midnight. It's like, so I grew up with, I could get completely vaporized at any time with no warning and no recourse. And not just me would die. Everything would be wiped out. Cities, civilizations, everything. And so the idea that this is the worst time ever, come on. People had kids during the Black Death. People had kids during the fall of Rome. People had kids during famines and wars and plagues Absolutely. Of every kind. And like, don't give me this nonsense about, we live the most comfortable life in human existence.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine,
very true.
Imagine having to have sex with someone who hadn't bathed in a year and never brushed their teeth. Fun. Let's not get all kinds of precious here, right?
All right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. That's maybe stuff I wanted to get across. I mean, how did I roughly do? Just be firm about it and just don't let people lie to themselves about stuff.
Yeah. I think it's so sad and I want to do something, but I don't want to poison the well. I don't want to damage people by saying, yeah, go ahead, get yourself sterilized, because it is tragic.
Oh, it's horrible. And the other thing too is like, and this is a little bit more true for women than men, it's like, look, if somebody said, look, I want to write the greatest symphonies in human history, so I can't really afford to have kids, I'm like, okay, I can vaguely get that, or I'm gonna write the greatest novel, or I'm gonna, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm gonna be a this or that, contribute in some significant way to culture, or not. I want to be a great scientist, I want to cure cancer, and so I can't afford to have, I mean, that's one thing. And it's not a great case, but it's a better case.
Right.
Because most people, the best thing they can do in terms of life satisfaction and contribution to the world is have children. You know, very few of us are Mozart or Einstein or, Tycho Brahe or Alexander Salk or anything. Very few of us are going to make any big, significant contribution to human history. And so, like, you give up kids for what? For some great grand ambition, or I'm going to, rewrite the laws of physics, or I don't know, whatever, right? Be a playwright. Most people end up not having kids and doing what with all that extra time and money?
Yeah,
I mean, what have your siblings done?
Right, Right.
I mean, no, seriously, what have they done? Have they, I mean, maybe they have cured cancer or, you know, worked in that direction.
No, yeah, it's very true. It's very true. They're just, they're you know, people are just drifting now.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for something. I don't know what. It's,
yeah. Yeah, it's really
I don't know.
It's really sad. Yeah, because then people are like, I'm going to do all this cool stuff when I don't have kids. And, you know, frankly, what do they get done? What do they achieve?
Right.
What do they do? I mean, there's an old saying in the business world, if you want something done, give it to the busiest person you can find.
Right, right.
And most people are like, oh, I'm going to do all these great things. And it's like, so you end up basically not having kids and then just watching a bunch of Netflix garbage and eating some right. popcorn. It's like, well, okay, right. So, because the, you know, the devil, so to speak, will tempt you with all the stuff that is never going to get delivered, right? Oh, you'll have this great life and you'll be jetting off to Paris and having baguettes and then you'll go and explore the cathedrals in Berlin and then, well, the mosques, I guess.
Right.
So you will, you'll do all of these. And then what happens is you end up working 10 hours a day. You're kind of tired at night and you get 2 or 3 weeks vacation a year.
Right.
And all of this wonderful, majestic stuff never comes to pass, never comes to be. And you end up neither with the kids, nor the great experiences, nor the big achievements, and you get nothing.
And in the end, you leave it all behind anyway.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, and the thing too, because you're like, well, I'm going to have all this extra money. And it's like, okay. So, I mean, you know how it goes. If you've seen your parents, you...
Certainly.
When you're young and you have time and energy, you don't have money. And when you're older and you have money, you don't have time or energy. So,
right.
This idea that money is going to make everything better and solve all your problems and it's going to be just wonderful and fantastic. And you know, you never know when you're going to get hit by a bus or have some fell disease take you down or something like that. So, yeah, all of this stuff, I'm going to save all this money. And it's like, yeah, maybe. But, you know, you're probably not going to be able to do that much that's interesting with it. And travel is not even that interesting. You know, is it really so fantastic to go and have coffee in a different place?
Right.
Really not. Yeah. It's okay, whatever. It's not bad. I've done a fair amount of travel, but not too much recreationally. Most of the travel that I've done has been, you know, back when I could give speeches and stuff like that. So, but I mean, they're not going to, I mean, you're not going to, oh, I took a selfie at the base of the Eiffel Tower. It's like, yeah, yes, you did. But you did not hold
and
grow a human life. Yeah, like, so what? And you're just a parasite in that way, because it's not like you built the damn Eiffel Tower or built the camera or, you know, paved right. the streets. You're just standing around looking at things that other people have done and claiming that you've achieved something. Oh, look, I saw the Taj Mahal. It's like, yeah, great. You know, so did a leaf blowing past, so to speak, right? It still didn't take anything.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. And children is the most creativity that most people will ever be able to achieve. And they don't even partake of that, and they don't get any, there's no consolation prize for most people. And again, you could look at someone like, I don't know, Freddie Mercury didn't have any kids and so on. And it's like, yeah, but you know, at least he left some pretty cool music behind and all of that. But most people aren't even going to do that. And then all you basically have got is kidhood for any kind of real achievement and satisfaction in this life. And it is, yes, just profoundly, profoundly selfish to take a 4 billion year inheritance that your ancestors went through literal hell in order to provide to you and then fritter it away on lattes and museums that put you to sleep. It's just, yeah, it's really sad.
Certainly. Yeah. So we have to protect our own children from the antinatalism that is being forced on them from every corner, you know, we have to combat that, I think.
I mean, it is the, of course, there was some talk with the COVID vaccines that maybe they were going to have issues with fertility and so on because they gathered in the uterus and so on. I don't know. I mean, I've given up trying to sort this kind of stuff out because I have no idea what the data is and I'm not going to go and do the research myself and I'm not a statistician and so on. But the way that I sort of, because, you know, it's very sad, but the way that I sort of thought about it, which is not to say that this is right, but I'm just sort of telling you how. Is that, okay, so let's say that the people who took the vaccines are going to have some trouble having kids. I mean, A, that's really sad, and I wish it had been different and so on. But the other thing that I would say is if there was one group that is going to end up less fertile that would have the least amount of sorrow associated with that. It would be something like, well, we want the people most susceptible to mindless propaganda and the ones most susceptible to turning on their fellow citizens and stripping of their human rights because they're not obeying the commandments of the all-loving, all-knowable right. government. Well, it's those people, the people who want you locked inside your house and want your right to travel taken away and want you to have to provide a passport to get on a bus and don't want you to be able to get groceries because you're not putting this mystery goop into your veins. I mean, it's those right. people, if I had to choose a group, you know, of people where right. I would be the least sad about them not being or having difficulty reproducing, it would be that group. And
that
so,
group, yeah.
And so if people, if they're not willing to listen to reason and they just want to pursue, you know, this selfish, compliant hedonism, you know, I, you know, what matters to me, and I'm sure it is to you as well, what matters to me is that I'm good with my conscience.
Right.
And if I've made the case and people don't listen, then what means is that fewer people who are hostile to philosophy will end up having children. And I don't right. know how that's going to be bad in the long run, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. For sure. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention? I appreciate the call and thanks for your patience as we got this all sorted.
So thank you for your time. And I'm sorry for the tech issues. I'll try to fix that before next time.
Excellent.
So, yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you for a great chat and congratulations on your family. You certainly did better than I did. And I'm thrilled for that. And I hope we'll talk again.
Yes, sir. You as well.
All the best. Bye-bye.